Monstrous liberal messiah George Soros battles Trump and reality itself. The octogenarian billionaire now pays for outright street revolt against Donald's win. It's shocking after putting so much time and money into seeding socialism into America that someone like Trump could win, I'm sure, in Soros's mind. He spent $24 million against George W. Bush to keep him from the White House, and that failed as well, but he did get Barack Obama in for two terms. But why destroy America? Soros says, and I quote, "The bubble of American supremacy is a threat to the world." He claims we need a world system to help regulate society with a central bank, and quote, "To stabilize and regulate a truly global economy, we need some global system and political decision making." And, quote, "The sovereignty of states must be subordinated to international law and international institutions." He also stated on a different topic, "I fancied myself as some kind of god. And if truth be known, I carried some rather potent messianic fantasies with me from childhood, which I felt I had to control, otherwise they might get me in trouble. And I have always harbored an exaggerated view of my self-importance. To put it bluntly, I fancied myself as some kind of god or economic reformer. My sense of reality was strong enough to make me realize that these expectations were excessive, and I kept them hidden as a guilty secret. This was a source of considerable unhappiness through much of my adult life. As I made my way in the world, reality came close enough to my fantasy to allow me to admit my secret, at least to myself. Needless to say, I feel much happier as a result." And Soros supports the migrant crisis in Europe, saying national borders are an obstacle to the influx of Muslim men pouring in without following proper security protocols. So, friends, scratch under the surface of a liberal savior and you'll discover a leftist tyrant who wants to steal all men's freedom and women's, forcing us into a utopia where we lose all liberty while being saved by the group. We're supposedly saved. Good morning. It's 6:09 on the button. And I wanted to get some quotes to you from George Soros. He's a very scary person. And he is the person that is paying for this organization and assault on America from the streets. The protesters themselves are not, for the most part, paid, but groups that he supports, that he created, are putting out professional agitators to go out and get these people in the streets. So a lot of these kids or persons protesting in Portland, Oregon, for example, the ones that have been taken in, they didn't vote. They're not even registered. So they can't be that upset at the outcome if they're not even engaged. But, you know, this is what Soros is trying to turn into a worldwide phenomenon. So, bearing in mind that George Soros is trying to once again dissolve American democracy under a wave or wave after wave of chaos, here's Senator Harry Reid, who's leaving and is one of the most partisan members of the Senate in history and a truly despicable character, goes after the naming of Steve Bannon, who had run the campaign into victory. He was brought in about halfway into the race. Here is Harry Reid, who's a truly despicable person. Check this out. And this is, by the way, this is from the floor of the Senate. This is one of the most outrageously partisan statements I've ever heard from the Senate floor. Anyway, Harry Reid, whose partisanship is absolutely astounding, and if you were unaware of this, one of the reasons that the House, when the Republicans had it, was not able to do anything or do much, is because Harry Reid took bills that were voted on by the representatives, created and voted upon by the representatives of over 300 million people, and he regularly refused to bring them on the floor. So hundreds, if not thousands, of bills were torn up, and this one person acted like he acted like he was the president. It's very sad that during his time running the Senate, he acted as just a complete buffer. So, and his entire intent, he and Nancy Pelosi, was to protect Barack Obama and to put his ideas forward. And Harry Reid, who is the senator from the state that I grew up in, and he was at one time the attorney general, the governor. I can't remember all the stuff that he did, but he was very prominent in Nevada. Even as a little kid, I couldn't stand this guy. I could see that he was a demagogue, and he's just gotten so much worse. He's so far into leftism. It's just extreme leftism. It's sad, but, you know. Anyway, these are the kind of things that Trump is going through to try to put his cabinet together. Now, there is another interesting development that has occurred, and I thought I'd turn you onto it. There has been a purge so far in this group of people that has been putting the Trump cabinet together, and they've gotten rid of a couple of people, and they were people that were tied to Chris Christie. Now, the reason for that is I believe that they have come to the conclusion that Chris Christie is likely to be under indictment at some point for this bridge scandal, or at least suffer. He's already been embarrassed by this, but I was thinking it's possible that Chris Christie lied to the Trump campaign or not. You know, it's either way, but I mean, if two of his staff members were convicted in a probe into this, and now the scrutiny is on Chris Christie. So I don't think that Trump felt like he could really allow him to run his transition team or to be involved in the government just because of, the heightened scrutiny because of his case. So anyway, Kelly O'Connell, 617-523-1450 to call in, 805-618-02 text. I have the text machine with me, and, we're going to take a little break here on AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. KOBE, we'll be right back. But I got 100 stories for you. And a little more Leon Russell in memory of a great artist, Tightrope. I want to remind you of the impact of social policy, of public policy, of economic ideas on human beings. Here's a little clip from the Council on Foreign Relations. Well, let me actually have to vet this clip, but here is, see right here, they want to get rid of Obamacare. It's been promised in New Mexico, bracing for, and I might have read this already, but I want to bring it up again, from the 14th, a couple of days ago. New Mexico bracing for Obamacare to be dismantled. New Mexico healthcare companies and clients bracing for the likelihood that the ACA, Affordable Health Care Act, aka Obamacare, will be dismantled early. And phone lines were burning up in New Mexico trying to find out what that means. On Friday, last Friday, Trump told Wall Street Journal that after conferring with President Obama, he'd consider keeping those two elements, pre-existing conditions and kids with the parents' insurance for till the age of 26. New Mexico-based insurance and hospital system executives said it was too early to tell how things would proceed, but most agreed they would have to adjust their business operations after Trump begins working on the law. They said state exchange customers and Medicaid policies will be honored in 2017. Federal health officials then talked about a surge in enrollment in Obamacare, including 100,000 people who signed up the day after Trump won. New Mexico Exchange, BWELL and M, small B-E, big W-L-E-L-L, small N-M, was no exception. Our enrollment locations and call centers have been very busy, said Linda Wadim, interim chief executive officer of BWELL and M. New Mexicans shopping for new insurance through BWELL and M have until January the 31st to enroll. The online exchange, which uses the healthcare.gov portal, allows users to compare plans and identify available tax credits and subsidies. And BWELL NM will continue to execute a robust outreach strategy to uninsured New Mexicans to let them know about coverage, that it's still available, and they should be enrolled by December 15th for coverage starting January 1. And about 55,000 New Mexicans bought private insurance for the most current year. And so for anything else in here, let's take a break and I'm going to come back and read the rest of this article, or I'll get the highlights for you. Kelly O'Connell, 651, and we'll be right back to talk more about New Mexico healthcare. Just under 75 miles an hour. How time to change this year's All right. I didn't see that ad coming. But anyway, I want to get into the rest of this article for you so you can have some information to deal with. There is on a New Mexico Obamacare called Be Well NM, and you have till January 31st to enroll. And a gentleman by the name of John Franchini, who is the New Mexico insurance superintendent, said that he and other insurance commissioners were assured that the process for the Obamacare ACA was still in place at least through 2017. And he said he believes that Congress will, quote, adjust, simplify, and maybe economize the delivery system for health care without totally dismantling it. And he said that it's a very popular program, especially with people with pre-existing conditions. And there is a high level of uncertainty and anxiety over what is to come in the larger health market. And Obamacare exchanges make up about 25% of New Mexico health connections clients, and which is one of the few remaining nonprofit co-ops created with federal loans when the Obamacare was passed. And all right, so what one of the things Trump is talking about is using federal Medicaid funding over the states in the form of block grants to give more local control. Mexico was one of 32 states to expand Medicaid under the ACA, adding 300,000 residents to the rolls. Not surprising, since we're the poorest state in the nation. Federal government picks up most of the costs, but the state is struggling with its share, approximately $1 billion, especially while our oil and gas revenues plummet. And see anything else you might want to know here? Okay, so here is, if I can fit this in, Marina Well, the question is, does Donald have a plan to replace Obamacare? Here's from Fox. Well, we don't have time for that. I'll play it on the next hour. But so everything is in flux. To quote Heraclitus, all is flux. Everything is moving around out there on Obamacare. It sounds like you, if you're in Obamacare, you'll be covered through 2017. They obviously can't, pull a law and then pull the insurance at the same time. So have no fear. I'll see if I can get some more information in the coming days, in the coming weeks, about the situation, what you can look forward to. Anyway, you've been listening to Kelly O'Connell on AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. Today is the 16th day of November on KOBE 523-1450 to call in, and 805-61802 text, and we'll take you out with some Tightrope, Leon Russell, RIP. Be back after a break on the hour.
enforcement throughout Lafayette County, as well as issues regarding fleet management and the proposed county's organizational chart, which will be available next Tuesday. If you aren't able to attend that work session, you can probably post it to our website at some point today. County Manager Julia Brown has named Vincent Espinosa as the Assistant County Manager for Administration. He's my new boss. He's overseeing several departments within the county, including public information. He's retired from the Lafayette County Sheriff's Office, El Paso Sheriff's Office, and El Paso Police Department.
All right, so 7:06, let me get you some headlines for you. There's a controversy over the transition team of Trump, but it's all or mostly manufactured to make him look bad, in my opinion. Obama says Trump and I could not be more different. Thank God. Boy, he really fell in love with himself at some point, didn't he? Question, will Trump pardon Julian Assange after the WikiLeaks election help? Glenn Beck, the alt-right is truly terrifying. Leon Russell dies, which we've been talking about already. This is all from Google News. Assad labels Trump a natural ally to fight terror. Well, at least he'll fight terror, as opposed to Obama, who's more interested in talking about it. You know, remember, don't you find it odd that Obama, who's the world's greatest America fan, said that he foresaw a war against ISIS that would take 10 years? This guy is full of jokes, isn't he? Trump talked to Putin, and Putin started ramping up the bombing on ISIS. So, yeah, let's see, anything else here for you? Huge study finds 1 billion people suffer from high blood pressure. Sounds like a growth industry. We have a call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Jesse.
Jesse, what's going on?
Hey, you know, this morning I was listening to your radio. You were talking about, you know, how when it came down to Obamacare, you didn't know whether they were stupid when they implemented it or whether they were just sadistic to the point they're trying to cripple and kill the health market, right?
That was Dave Ramsey. I was quoting a Dave Ramsey clip that I had just played.
Oh, okay. So I kind of go back and I look at, you know, kind of like I believe they were saying that Obamacare was going to be paid for by all those young students and people that didn't really need the health care, but they needed to be paid into it so that they would have health care in the future. Remember?
Right, yes.
I'm not sure if you remember that. Yeah, so it really is kind of silly to say that that's the population that you're expecting to provide the wealth for Obamacare, but then you turn around and you allow them to be on their parents' health insurance, so therefore there is no money coming in because you've actually killed that population.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Well, it's like you're expecting the baby lambs to come out and protect the flock. I mean, it's just ridiculous now that you put it in those terms. And, you know, the way it's really designed is for the middle class to pay for the health care of other people. I mean, the rich people don't. It doesn't matter. The middle class need the protection, but you're spiking the cost of middle class health care so that they have to pay for the poor.
Yeah. So the other stupidity I saw was, remember when the administration came in and they had that cash for clunkers?
Yeah. Oh, that was terrible. I think about all the great used cars that they took out of the marketplace, and they punished poor people who are the individuals who are most likely to buy a used car.
Well, yeah, but I think the second and third order effects was, you know, the government tells you, I'm going to give you X amount of money so you can go buy a new car. But then the majority of Americans that went out and had this government money went out and bought foreign cars. So that killed the U.S. market for new cars. So then the government had to bail out the U.S. government sector, I mean the car sector,
yeah,
because of the cash for clunkers. It's coming. Another dumb idea.
Well, what they call the law of unintended consequences. All these great liberal ideas always have a worse consequence than the issue they were trying to solve.
Yeah. You know, the worst one I think of is that you're going to roll out this Obamacare into the market, and it took them, what, maybe 9 months to finally get the markets ready from to be able to handle all the calls and everything else. They had all this computer software that didn't work. It went belly up.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? You almost say to yourself, you're gonna roll out this huge program, and you're trying to roll it out with a little dump wagon. You know, that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And well,
anyway,
yeah. That I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. And I've got some clips on Venezuela to play that you'll probably get a kick out of.
Yeah, it's just amazing that it seems that they want to implement things, but they fail to implement it correctly.
Exactly.
Anyway, that's all I had.
Thanks, Jesse. Have a good day. Drive safe.
All right.
All right, folks. I've got some clips for you. I mean, it doesn't matter what anybody says. I mean, nobody knows exactly what the new law is going to look like. But I do have a role model for us. I especially don't care what Zeke Emanuel says about this. Here is on Venezuela. Check this out. Venezuela fell in love with socialism because they thought we've got free money forever. We'll create a socialist paradise, a utopia, and the government will get all the money out of the oil industry, which they stole. They basically stole all these companies from the foreign companies that had invested and actually had built up the Venezuelan oil fields. And now that the price has dropped, the country is in free fall. Check this. Some of the stuff is pretty funny, but check this out. I'm playing this to let you know what happens whenever you apply socialism. All right, so they're struggling because we're attacking them economically. We're so jealous. All right, check this out. In time of crisis, Venezuelan president turns to music. Instead of doing the only humane thing he possibly could, which would be to change all of the laws away from socialism, open up the free market, allow people to have their own businesses and grow their own, you know, they want them to grow their own food in their backyards, of course. But instead of getting rid of, and this is the tragedy of socialism. You can see it in Barack Obama. You can see it in Stalin. You can see it in Venezuela. The law and the government are more important than the people. Check this out. You know what they do in these communist countries instead of eat dinner? They listen to speeches that go on. Like, Fidel Castro used to have speeches that went on for 5 or 8 hours. Can you imagine that? Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Jerry. Hey, Kelly. If
hey,
your audience
up?
Is interested, there's a couple of shows or movies that illustrate socialism well. One of them is Moscow on the Hudson. And the other one is The Man That Walked the Tightrope.
Wow. Sounds good.
Yeah, the second one is done back in 1953, so it's black and white, but they're highly interesting.
Okay.
On showing how socialism fails.
All right.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thanks, Jerry. Have a good day. All right, folks. So we'll see. We'll do a little background check on these. Here's Venezuelans' energy crisis. Maduro tells women not to blow dry hair. Well, I mean, isn't this, you know, what would you rather have, dinner or a radio show, which you may not have any electricity for salsa music? Would you rather blow dry your hair or ladies, or would you rather just run your fingers through it? I mean, the incredible heights that these countries go to that these socialist countries, to make sure that you understand that they're, what they're focusing on is true and has to be accepted. I mean, they're going to force utopia on you, right? They're going to force heaven on earth on you, and there's nothing you can do about it. To hear Obama get up there, and he's doing the same thing, and not my fault. Healthcare fell apart, not me. I had nothing to do with it. My name's on it, sure, but I didn't really, you know. And, we would have all these great programs, but the Republicans wouldn't go along. I thought, Mr. President, I thought you were the world's greatest speaker and you could mesmerize people. Why didn't you get up and give a speech in front of Congress and hypnotize everybody into agreeing to your programs? I mean, what's the point of being the world's greatest speaker if you're not using your gifts? 718 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523 1450. And 805-6180 to text on KOBE. We'll be right back. Okay, so Silicon Valley, a company in there named Oscar, was put together just to sell insurance into the ACA, for Obamacare insurance. And so the net result of that, from these very intelligent, brilliant people in Silicon Valley, has been the loss. I'm sorry, my computer just crashed. Has been the loss of $83 million in three states. And that's just in the last 6 months, maybe in the last 3 months. All right. So Oscar Insurance Corporation, the Silicon Valley-backed healthcare startup, continued to lose tens of millions of dollars in the third quarter as the company exits some markets and works to diversify away from its Obamacare business. So that's what happens when you apply Obamacare to the economy. Is it doesn't work. Now, why doesn't it work? Well, I'm sure there's a lot of different theories on that, but not too many that even make any sense. It wasn't because they were blocked by the Republicans. I had a friend of mine tell me, Obamacare is struggling. Why don't the Republicans do the right thing and help Obamacare? And I said, this bill was shoved down everybody's throat. Not one Republican voted for it in the House or the Senate. But now suddenly you want help, right? You're going to force something. Yeah, it's like forcing somebody to eat a meal that they don't like, that maybe they're allergic to. And when they get sick, the person, you know, you want them to chip in for the cost of driving to the hospital. Anyway, here's Maria Bartiromo versus Jonathan Gruber. Jonathan Gruber is saying Obamacare premiums have actually gone down. All right, so I'm not going to get into that anymore, but I will play something for you that this guy Gruber says, basically operator error, not the fault of the law. States are resisting it. The healthcare companies are not putting together good plans. I mean, everybody's wrong, but the president and John Gruber. Here's John Gruber. You remember him, I'm sure. All right, so that's the same guy that just pretended that like this is working when he admitted that it was designed to mislead people and for the healthy to pay for the sick and for the rich to pay for the poor. And, I mean, you know, these people are totally shameless. And then he gets up on this show and says, you know, of course it works if people would just cooperate. He admits that it was passed using lies. And then he gets up to defend it anyway. It's sad. You don't know if these people do they continue the lie because they get a kick out of it or because it's, I mean, this guy made millions of dollars out of this, by the way. He's the main architect of the law. Does he do it to survive professionally, or does he do it because he's so lost in his own mind in this, you know, this miasma, this labyrinth in his mind, but where there's some lies and some truth that he's just lost in there. I mean, it's just, and every one of these people thinks, like you just said right there, the American people are stupid, we're smart. We fool them because we're smart, and we trick them because we write the law in a non-transparent way. If the law is not transparent, it could fool anybody, right? I mean, but anyway, you're not smart if you think you have to lie to people to get ahead. 731 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces. We'll be right back. 523-1450. KOBE.7:36, and here's some more headlines, this time from The Drudge. China is pushing global internet rules now that they have the kill switch, which somebody called up and said that we need to give away. Twitter purges alt-right accounts. America is great again. Dollar hits a 14-year high. Another story, Cruz is being touted by some people for the attorney general position, which I think he would be good at. Another name that's come out is Kris Kobach immigration hardliner could be a Trump's attorney general, according to McClatchy News. Pelosi's on the brink of being pushed out, finally. Homeland Security is warning of holiday travel threats. And other news, France is asking that a tariff be put on American goods, although the youngest ever president is possibly coming in there into France. Denver is the first state to allow pot in bars and restaurants. What do you think about that? And paper to Trump voters teach us. New antibody neutralizes 98% of HIV strains. Domino's Pizza becoming the world's first pizza drone delivery. Baltimore banning toy guns for obvious reasons. Mysterious weight gain caused by sleep eating. I had a case like that. I filed a case on an Ambien defense for a DUI, but the case never went. Case was dropped by the DA's office before we could have that hearing. But did you know that 1% of the test group with Ambien suffered from hallucinations and known events? If you're on Ambien, you might want to go talk to your doctor about this. Known events associated with Ambien include sleep talking, sleep cooking, sleep eating, sleep driving, and even sleep sex. So I was thinking about maybe using that in the family law courts, but a little tongue in cheek there. All right, so let's get back to this news here. Surprisingly common disorder could make you gain weight in your sleep. So if you're sleep eating, if you're losing weight, if you're waking up pounds heavier than when you went to bed, and the only way to know that is to weigh yourself, of course. You could be eating your pillow. You could be so hungry when you go to bed. You might be exercising. But and the way to know that is if you have an unusual appearance of feathers caught in your mouth when you wake up. But all right, so let me ask you this: there's a national movement towards criminalizing homelessness. What do you think about that? They're doing it in Honolulu, I assume they're doing it in places where it's pleasant to sleep outside, you know, to be outside, like Southern California. Like Florida, there was a tremendous problem with homeless, giant homeless camps. And so these cities are making homelessness, in other words, sleeping, you know, sleeping in the streets or in the parks, whatever, against the law. They tried this in Portland, Oregon, where I used to live, and they had to end the pilot program. They made it legal for people to sleep in the streets, because it created confusion over whether it was legal to publicly camp. So what do you think about that? Obviously, making it illegal doesn't get rid of the problem, but it would give the police more of an ability to deal with it. All right, let's take a break here. We've got some weather for you. AM Las Cruces, AM 1455, 23, 1450 to call in, 805-6180 to text on KOBE. And come back. I'm going to play a clip for you called "The Unbearable Smugness of the Press." You're going to love it. Man, I got so much for you guys here. It is an embarrassment of riches. And I'm trying to pick through everything that is so important. Man, do I want to play this right now? I might as well, because I got some Beck watch for you that you're going to find quite interesting. Listen to this, though. There's a lot of wisdom in this. The unbearable smugness of the press. CBS. All right, so let's take a break here, and I'm going to come back and hit you with the Electoral College, the debate over whether the Electoral College has to be changed. You're going to find this fascinating, the history of it. A little bit on Huma Abedin's tears, and then some Beck watch. 749 Kelly O'Connell AM, Las Cruces AM 1450, 523 1450, and 805-6180 to text. I'll read your text too. Thank you. Hey, it's Kelly.
Hey, Kelly. Who was that that interview with that you just played, the reporter that was talking about?
He was
why the report.
He's the online content editor for CBS News.
Okay, and I can find that on YouTube or the internet.
Yeah, hold on. Let me see if I, because I closed the clip, but hold on. His name is, I think it's Will Rahn. Willrahn. CBS.
Thanks,
yeah.
Kelly.
You enjoy that?
I did. That was fabulous. I want to share that with people.
Thanks, man. Bye bye.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
You bet. Bye. All right. So anyway, I've got for you here the unbearable unhappiness of Huma. Poor little Huma. Huma Abedin, all she did was love Hillary Clinton to pieces. It's her only crime. And marrying some sex addict. I'm all in favor of that. All right, here's Glenn Beck. His thoughts after Trump was elected. Oh, poor babies. Hitler is the next Trump. Trump's the next Hitler. All right, here's Glenn Beck. Some more Glenn Beck. He's going to give Glenn Beck a supportive call. He's going to give Trump. Glenn Beck is going to call Trump and offer all of his assistance, all of his voluminous assistance. Let's support all of the sociopaths out there. All right, 7:57, and I've got a brief analysis of the Electoral College. It's anything but outdated, according to Larry P. Arn, who works for Hillsdale College. Doesn't work for the Electoral College. All right, so the Electoral College was a system by which to elect the presidency before there was popular democracy. And the political parties would choose their electors, and the electors would stand for a particular candidate. And, you know, all right. So now they want to throw out the Electoral College because it doesn't correspond with the popular vote. And the point that Arn makes is that would be absolutely ridiculous, that we would discount this. You saw the map of all the people that voted for Trump. You would throw all of the votes out almost from coast to coast, except for a couple of states on the coast. You'd throw out the vast majority of the votes in America to get rid of the popular college. And he writes, Trump joins John Quincy Adams, Rutherford B. Hayes, Benjamin Harrison, and George W. Bush as the only presidents who won without the popular vote. And so this has happened recently, but a product of the deep and wide division in America between the urban and the rural, the sophisticated and the rustic, the cosmopolitan and the local. It is a shame that the winner this year, Trump, lost the popular vote by a whisker. If he did it through voter, bringing these 60,000 voters in from Virginia, that's good, the felons. But it would be as much or more of a shame if Mrs. Clinton had prevailed despite massively losing the geographic vote, the vote across space, the vote that reflects the different ways that Americans live. So keep the Electoral College. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed the show, and have a great day. We'll see you back in 22 hours. Ciao. Kelly O'Connell, AM Oshkosh, AM 1450 on KOBE.